lesson, and it's toward the end of the epistle lesson, because, you know, Paul is talking to the children of God in the catacombs underneath the Romans, underneath the sidewalks of Rome, and they're like we are at times. They're scared. They're frightened. They don't know what's going on. But they do know that if they stick their heads above those catacombs, that they will be sought and killed because they believe in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, they gather together just like we gather together. And they begin to pray. But they don't know exactly what they're doing. So as Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God's word for us this morning. I'm wondering if you look back on your life and every little bit of your life, you may have been a loss for words at times. It could be when there's a sudden illness or there's a death. Have you ever gone to the funeral home or the funeral and went through the line, not really knowing what you're going to say, if anything at all? We start to become a loss for words. And not just at funerals, but sometimes at weddings. Especially if the father of the bride has to stand up and say something, takes the microphone and looks at it and says, oh, what am I going to say? Or someone who has a spotlight put on them, like a TV station, and asks the person about the event that happened. A loss for words. We stumble. We stammer. Our Rotary Club in Lake City, and it just hasn't been Lake City, it was in Mapleton as well. We open up with a Pledge of Allegiance, and we go with a prayer. And when we were at Mapleton, they'd say, Pastor, you have the prayer. Okay, so I would pray. When we came to Lake City, they would always have me have the prayer until we devised that each person who would go up and get someone to come in and speak would have the prayer. When we have a new president, and she came up to me last week and she said, Scott, would you mind having the prayer every time we don't have a speaker? You do it so eloquently. And I kind of said, okay. You see, the problem is with people is that, and all of us are included in that, is that when we are asked to say a few words or a prayer, we stumble, we stammer. We don't know exactly what to say. When we were in Mapleton and at the installation dinner, they always ask the pastor who has been installed to have the prayer for the meal. And so I said, yes, okay. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Well, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And I have a pastor who says, you're not in Minnesota anymore. They ran the two together. But it's those kinds of events that sometimes we don't really know what to say. We don't really know what goes on and what kind of prayer we can have. Hey, Pastor, why don't you have a few words of prayer? Thanksgiving dinner for up in Lake City. And we're a number of us that are working. I'm the pastor that's working, and one of the gals said, "Pastor, would you have a prayer before we open?" Oh, boy. Can't you have the prayer? No, because you're here. You can have the prayer. Well, in the book of Romans here, you know, Paul starts that 8th chapter with, there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he also writes about the glory to come and looking for that glory. And now he's writing about prayer. And what he says in prayer is that sometimes we don't really know how to pray. We may want the help of someone to gain, you know, either the physical health or the spiritual well-being. But we really don't know how to put those in words. And I'm including pastors in that too. Because sometimes we're called upon and we just don't know the words. And you see, here Paul says, don't worry. Because the Spirit takes those groanings within us, those thoughts within us, and he forms them into a glorious prayer to bring to the throne of grace, to bring to the throne of God the Father, knowing that God the Father will hear our prayer. And so that's what Paul is focusing in on our text for today, that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We know about that Holy Spirit because in our baptism, when the pastor says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit," that the Spirit enters our hearts and our lives. And that Spirit creates faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so not only does the Spirit take our groanings too deep for words, but he also comes into our hearts to tell us who we are and whose we are. Because the Apostle Paul later on says, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So in that baptism, God is grabbing us, grabbing our hearts, grabbing our lives. And he's using the Holy Spirit to create that faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. But that Spirit has another job, not only to come into our hearts and create faith. He's there to take the groanings and bring them to the throne of grace. He's there also to teach us about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to enable people to know Jesus, that Jesus is there to help us, that Jesus is there to forgive us our sins, that Jesus is there to help us. And so the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes at the throne of grace. When my father was dying of lung cancer, and this one was in Langdon, North Dakota, and nobody came to see the preacher, unless I had one elder who came and saw me on Saturdays and spent 3 hours talking to me. But so I could have my devotion before it wouldn't rain. People wouldn't knock at my door. So I could have my devotion and I could go right into the sanctuary and kneel down at the altar and pray. During the time of my father's lung cancer, there were so many times that I knelt at the altar, not knowing what to say at all. But knowing that the Holy Spirit was there to help me and to take my groanings for words, my longing for words, and bring them to the throne of grace. And so there I knew by faith that God would hear me. Because the Spirit himself would take those groanings and bring them to the throne of grace. And you see, the Spirit also causes us to live new lives. The Spirit comes into us and cleans us of all the cobwebs, of all the sins. And He imparts into us that strong faith that when we come up to the altar rail and we see the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for us for the remission of our sins, we believe that our sins are washed clean. And we believe that we have the assurance of Christ's love. And we believe that we have the assurance of heaven that is given to us, free and clear out of grace and mercy. So you see, the Holy Spirit has a tremendous, tremendous job to do. And stubborn people that we are, stubborn that we have this difficulty in praying. And it's a difficulty in men mostly. Over the course of my ministry, I have found that women are easier to pray. Men, we just really don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know the how, if it's kneeling or if it's closing our eyes or if it's being silent. It's a tremendous job that we have to do to witness, but we find it very difficult because by praying, we're showing our weakness in our faith. And by praying, we are showing to others that we do in need that help and that encouragement in our life to build us up, to encourage us, to show to us that God is enabling us to be a witness. And He's enabling us and empowering us to live as a child of God, to show forth to those around us that we depend upon someone else who is stronger than us. And so in our lives, we live with all sorts of things going on. We live with the joyous times, the births of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We celebrate weddings and anniversaries. We celebrate those neat little things that happen in our family's lives. Our granddaughter, Holly, she was installed in the Honor Society this last year. She's also spending 3 weeks, and I think it's a kind of an honor program, an art program. And so she's doing this and she's getting credit for it and that, all this, but it's a joy that she was chosen. Our son Andrew, when we lived in International Falls, would play hockey. But he wasn't chosen to be in the high school team or anything. And he said he wasn't going to try out, but he tried out for the Dirty Dozen, which were 13 people that would gather together at hockey games, and they would play music, and they'd play the school song and all that. And he came home after he was chosen, and he says, "Dad, you know what? I got chosen for my ability. Not my name." Those are times that we can pray and thank Lord that those things were given. As we were coming today, this last Wednesday, there was an accident just outside of Lake City. A young man was killed. And if I would have had my way, we would have left right about the time that we would have been involved in that accident. Somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit was working through someone else to prevent us from leaving at that time. Now, God works in mysterious ways, and He works in mysterious ways in our lives. And He teaches us how to pray. know, the disciples said, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. They continue to ask that throughout the scriptures, as we ask the Lord, teach us to pray. And he teaches us the soft words to say to those around us. May God the Holy Spirit continue to do that in our lives. In Christ's holy name, amen.